Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, all I wanna know, you heard?
Hello?
Let me speak to Jay.
Who is?
It's Larry Hoover.
Hold on, Chief.
Stumbled across a memo on his desk stating that.
Hello?
Hey, Jay. What's happening, man?
How you doing?
I'm pretty good. Still fighting this frame.
How everything going?
It's rough on a black man.
Yeah, I've been hearing a lot of different things, but no, ain't nothing like hearing it straight out the horse's mouth, you know?
Well, the truth is, niggas in the street got to get together all over the nation. I thought we got to get together in Chicago, we got to get together in L.A., we got to get together in Houston, we got to get together in New York, we got to get together in Detroit. Niggas got to get together all over this nation. I'm talking about not the regular people in the street. I'm talking about street niggas. I'm talking about niggas that call themselves gangsters. Real gangsters go to the polls.
Well, you know, we the one make the difference, too.
Exactly. That's what's going to make the difference. You know, that's that sleeping giant. That's that 40% apathetic vote within our black community. That's who we need to arise. That's who we need to awaken. And see, they scared of me because I'm trying to wake that sleeping giant. See, these young brothers, they pay attention to what I say because I'm one of them. You know, I've been where they've been. You know, I come from where they come from. I'm where they're going to if they don't watch out what they're doing.
Hope y'all paying attention. Movement 720, y'all.
This is
Rated
R.
Y'all know what time it is. Shout out to Nipsey Hussle, y'all. Shout out to Nipsey Hussle, man. Anybody familiar with the Maryland song? I let that music play for a reason, man. You had a brother on the East Coast, well, West Coast, who lost his life, who was considered a negative figure in the community at one point in his life. That brother made his transformation and change, man. It's amazing his efforts to try to better his community. I said that to say that he was a normal individual just like every last one of us. You know what I'm saying? If somebody that comes from that background can do it, we all can. Sometimes we need to take the time and the effort, man, and the thoughts and the heart to step forward and be leaders in our community. With that being said, I want to welcome my co-host on the show, Queen Tahira, and thank her for being a part of this show. How you doing, sis?
Greetings, brother. I'm well, and I appreciate the opportunity to exchange energy with you and the comrades that are on the line tonight. So thank you for welcoming me.
All good. I want to start the show off by enlightening the callers, and I want to say once again, I appreciate y'all for calling in with something that's kind of very, very it's in tune with this subject and title we have today. It's a quote. It says, you have to have a reason to fight. But when your livelihood is the reason, it becomes an open door to the obvious. Yet there are ways to fight which we have failed to understand the strengths and advantages of. That's what's special and beautiful about culture. And to a lesser degree, race. The us of it, the we of it. I'm with you and you're with me. We are born connected. Understand that you're not enemies, but more family than you'll ever know. In this prison system, the reason why I allowed that clip to play at the beginning of the show, I wanted people to pay attention to the words that leader had spoken. He was telling people to go to the polls, exercise your power to make decisions, to get decisions made. Put people in the right places to help you and your people. Stop sitting on your behind and making things happen, or you'll end up in a situation. You are like him, incarcerated. We're going to talk about recidivism real quick, which is a noun. And recidivism is the tendency of a convicted criminal to reoffend. But it's funny because if you look this word up in Google, each word that is defined is always given some type of example by being used in a sentence. And then the example that Google gave was the prison has succeeded in reducing. Inefficient is an adjective, and inefficient means not achieving maximum productivity, wasting or failing to make the best of time or resources. And the final word is management, which is a noun. Management means the process of dealing with or controlling things or people. I say that to say this. Today we expose MDOC, which is the Department of Corrections, in the state of Mississippi. What we're going to talk about is how MDOC is an inefficient management agency. That is the reason why I define those words for the callers to understand why I said this. MDOC has had so many different failures in how they manage their agency. They've had constant deaths. They've had issues with medical issues. They had issues with just living conditions being poor and atrocious, just inhumane. And for the last past 3 years, we have fought for the betterment of these guys, to allow these guys to be in a position to have their voice heard. Thus came this radio show, this Blog Talk radio show. And what we wanted to do was give these guys an opportunity to let their voices be heard, to speak upon the things that they were going through, because for so long, the public has turned a blind eye to what these guys go through and how they're being treated behind those walls. And it's imperative that we allow the public to see where their taxpaying dollars are going. During this show, we're going to allow you guys to hear how these people operate, the things they put people through, and the option that these guys have. So with that being said, I'm going to allow this Brother Red, to come on and enlighten y'all on awakening and what this word means and where we at with that. How you doing, Red?
I'm doing good tonight, fam. How you doing?
I'm doing good, family. Talk to us, baby. Talk to us.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, tonight's show is Awakening. For those of you that are not familiar with what Awakening is, Awakening is defined as an act of waking from sleep or an act of or a moment of becoming suddenly aware of something. Okay, being awoken while incarcerated, it can mean a couple of things. But I believe that once a person realizes the situations, actions, and how their attitude placed them inside those walls, they'll hopefully see that the time for a change is now in order to become a productive member of society. Even if a person has no hope of getting out of prison, once their eyes have been opened, they will strive to do all that they can to help other men and women stay out of prison, whether it's by simple conversation or other means. So once a person's eyes is awakened, you know, to the situation that they're in, and they see people that are possibly entering into the system, or that they can benefit and stop them from entering into the system, you know, that'll get them a goal, especially for people that are incarcerated, have been incarcerated for a long time. These people here,
have seen the error of their ways, but society and the legislature haven't, you know what I'm saying, awakened, become awakened, so to speak. Just as the sole topic for MDLC. MDLC hasn't become awakened to the situation they are giving these inmates, the living conditions, you know. So once a person is awoken, they, like I said, they'll see things in a different light. That's what their decisions and what they strive for is to better everyone's environment and their own personal situation. So.
All good, all good. I appreciate you, family. I appreciate you for that, bro. All right. Tyra.
Yes, I'm here.
Well, you all good. I have a letter that I have a guy that I want to read on this show. Matter of fact, I have two letters. I want you to, we're going to allow this guy to read this letter, sis, and I want you to help me opinionate on this letter, but I'm glad that we're on this type of platform. It will allow the audience to understand from the perspective of someone who's actually doing time in the state of Mississippi. This is just one situation right here compared to many. And with that being said, sis, I'm going to allow Deb to come on and give the listeners his first letter. Where you at, Dale?
How y'all doing today? Greetings. Greetings,
all
of you. How
good,
y'all doing?
All good.
This letter is a letter to receive from a guy in prison. It's called Letter from Prison. It say, I woke this morning to receive a letter from my son who was incarcerated at Parsons, Mississippi State Penitentiary. He had only been there a week. The letter is one that has kept me awake every night since he's been there. Hi, Mom. I love you. I wish I could say things were okay here, but they are far from that. I'm housed at Unit 29Z building, and right now it's crazy. I got woke up this morning by a guy named Michael Norwood screaming he needed help. He was screaming for over an hour. There was no officer in the tower as usual. Then a lieutenant self-officer came on his own and told the guy Michael Norwood to give them the cell phone. They said they knew he had it because the sheriff department had called and said that he had dialed 911. Michael Norwood still standing in the bars crying, telling the lieutenant that he needed help. He felt suicidal. Lieutenant only concerned was the cell phone. He gave him the cell phone, but he kept saying, I need help. Please help me. Lieutenant then told us, y'all better make that inmate be quiet or I'll call K-9 and tell him to take everything y'all convicts got. Other inmates began to yell for Michael Norwood to get out the bars and stop screaming. Michael Norwood continued to cry, screaming, I just need help. I just need help. Moments later, he got quiet, and I thought he had went to sleep. Then I heard an officer say, he dead, he dead, and ran off the zone. After about 15 minutes later, officer came to our zone. Michael Norwood had hung himself. This stuff is so crazy, but what's even more crazy is that while he was in his cell dead, the lieutenant let several other inmates out to pass out our rubber tray. Mom, I'm so afraid for my life here. It's not the inmates that I fear. It's the staff. I swear they are so unprofessional and untrained. It's like they just want to get paid. They don't care about our lives. We are like cows and pigs in the warehouse. They just count us and feed us a little food to help us survive. I won't even talk about the food, the rats, the roaches, snakes, and other animals that may wake up and find in your cell. Mom, I know I only have a short time here, but that's all Michael Norwood had. Mom, I only hope that we can have God to help us in here. I pray he don't let me die at the hands of these people. Mom, I want you to know I love you. Please ask God to watch over us. They say this is a place for correction and rehabilitation. But these people here are heartless. There's no correction or rehabilitation. And that's the end of my first letter. Thank you.
Well, Ashe, thank you for sharing that with us, brother. And, you know, the points that he raised, there are something that we need to break down. One, we have a tendency in society, once our brothers and sisters are out of sight, they're out of mind as well. So to hear that sentiment expressed through him humanizes the struggle. It lets people know that this is something that can often be inhumane. Often there are human rights violations in these types of conditions. And to get to the fact of the lack of compassion, the lack of mental health services, the lack of support and care when someone is begging for help. That's something that just should not happen. And may the family and friends and loved ones of Brother Michael Norwood find justice, because that's one thing that is not happening right now. There's so much nepotism that happens at these facilities, especially when they're in rural communities, that often we're looking at cousins, we're looking at in-laws, we're looking at brothers and sisters, fathers and sons, mothers and daughters who traditionally take on positions at these facilities, as well as profit as property owners from these facilities, because a lot of them, especially in the South, are where plantations used to be. So when we hear the term modern-day slavery, that's no joke. It literally is that, and slavery was never abolished. Slavery still exists to this day, and it's definitely something that we as a community need to organize around and do something about. So to go back to what you read and to what the Honorable Chairman said at the beginning of the broadcast, unless we get organized and start using our people power along with our political power, we're going to be spinning our wheels, and we can't continue to do the same things that we've done in the past and expect different results. So much love and much respect, and thank you for sharing that with us. And I yield.
Oh, good. I have something that I want to share with the people, man. I want the callers to pay real close attention to what I'm going to read to you people. I want to give an in-depth look of the whole state of Mississippi. Because this is more than just a few prisons. This is the entire state has issues where taxpayers pay their money to make sure the guys are educated, fed, they are rehabilitated, they're protected, okay? For those who are taking notes, for those who want to research, I'm going to take my time with it a little bit to give y'all an opportunity to write some of these things down if y'all want to do any research. Trinity Food Services. That's T-R-I-N-I-T-Y, Food Services. It has been a public health concern. This has been made public. That is the company that is contracted through MDLC. When you Google this company, you will see so many things that do not line up with the fact that, you know, you can just ask the question, why would these people sign a contract with this company? I can go into detail and say how the last commissioner of MDOC is doing federal time right now for scaling funds off the top, off the bottom and in between, to be honest with you. Going up on the price of the commissary, scaling money off of that. He was convicted for these things, bribery, all type of things. So understand that this prison system in Mississippi has not just started going through these things. You know what I'm saying? It went from worse to worse. You see what I'm saying? Centurion Medical Services. That's C-E-N-T-U-R-I-O-N Medical Service. They were sued in Florida for inadequate medical service. This is the medical service that MDOC has contracted for their state facilities. Medical staff not properly trained, and those who are not don't follow the guidelines. We want to start from the top to the bottom. Alcorn County Regional Correctional Facility. They have issues of being short of staff, inadequate inmate legal assistance programs, and untrained staff. Bolivar County Regional Correctional Facility. Shortage of staff, no effective inmate legal assistance program, untrained staff, same problem. Carroll, Montgomery County Regional Correctional Facility. Short of staff, untrained staff, no effective inmate legal assistance program. Chickasaw Correctional Facility, same exact issues. Central Mississippi Correctional Facility, short of staff, untrained staff, unusual death among inmates. July 30th, 2018, LaMario Smoot. Rest in peace, brother. Failure to provide proper medical attention. That was the call listed for his death. 2018, Robert Joseph, 38 years old, failure to provide proper medical attention. August 11th, 2018, Ricky Martin, 58 years old, failure to provide proper medical attention. August 20th, 2018, John Luttrell, 67, failure to provide proper medical condition. I mean, attention. August 23rd, 3 days later, Nicole Rathman, 33 years old, failure to provide proper security, failure to provide proper medical attention, drug overdose. August 27, 2018, Troy Pittman, 59 years old, failure to provide proper medical attention. Unhealthy food services was listed. It was due to something that he ate. East Mississippi Correctional Facility. Inadequate medical attention, inadequate supervision of mental health inmates because this is a mental health facility. Untrained staff. So automatically, having untrained staff at a mental facility is a no-no, okay? January the 17th, 2019, Walter Hodges committed suicide. Failure to properly monitor mental health patient due to shortage of staff, okay? In other words, if they were there watching and monitoring him, they could have, you know, possibly prevented this man's death. George County Regional Correctional Facility, untrained staff. Holmes Humphrey County Regional Correctional Facility, shortage of staff. Inadequate inmate legal assistance program, untrained staff. Issaquena Correctional Regional Correctional Facility, same issues. Jefferson County Regional Correctional Facility, same issues. Keppel County Regional Correctional Facility, same issues. As far as also Leake County Regional Correctional Facility, Marion County, same thing. Mississippi State Penitentiary, which is partial. You have a doctor that works there by the name of Dr. Santos, who is blind, basically, but he is still employed there by MDOC. He is assisted by a nurse who is not a doctor. Basically, what he does is ask her questions. She does the things that he needs her to do by using her eyes for him, and he tells her what to prescribe the inmate. This is actually going on as we speak in MSP. They issue an alert. Now, I'm going to be honest, but I'm just straighten it out. They did not issue an alert concerning water contamination. From my understanding, the inmates came across a memo that was supposed to be spread and allowed for the inmates to see that the water was contaminated. This is policy and procedure within any prison system. When you have anything that's contaminated that can affect the well-being and lives of these inmates, you're supposed to make it known public. You're supposed to post memos on the board and have officers come around and let these guys know not to drink the water, to do a water boil or whatever measures that they may take to make sure that the water is safe, right? Okay. They had the memo inside of a staff member's office where the inmates couldn't see it. Reason why they would do that is unknown, but just you know, imagine with the rest of the things that's going to be discussed on the show today. Unhealthy food services. I just can say last year alone, just one example, they found maggots in the kitchen in Unit 29 in Parchment, MSP, where they had to shut the kitchen down and so-called renovate it. They didn't do a good job, from my understanding. They have issues with rodents there, rats, insects, spiders, all this stuff going on. Condemned building structures, mold in the building. The officers push the trays out once the inmates get through eating, and they allow birds to just fly over the trays and sit on the trays and excrement on the trays. And these are the same trays they take and have washed and send back to the inmates with new food on it. Inmates might get fed at 1 o'clock in the morning, dinner. They might get breakfast at 12. They might get lunch at 7. And the excuse will be shortage of staff. But I want to notate for those who are listening, pay attention on the show, they're not short of staff when they're looking for contraband. All the inmates that I have come across and spoke with have made it known that they shake down constantly. They're constantly looking for contraband. But when it comes to things that the inmates need done, like taking a shower, recreation, going to see their lawyers, having the opportunity to get, you know, go to the gym and get a haircut to groom themselves, they're being denied with the excuse of shortage of staff. In Unit 25, they have the same thing as unhealthy food services, inadequate medical attention, condemned buildings. Unit 26 is the same situation, as well as Unit 28. Unit 29 is listed as the same thing, also with no correct recreation and unknown causes of numerous inmates' deaths. April 4th, same guy they spoke about on the letter earlier, Michael Norwood. Untrained staff, this inmate called 911 himself, stating he feared for his life and felt suicidal. The MSP staff arrived and only wanted the illegal cell phone, failed to take immediate actions. Milton Craig, the same exact day, April 4th, 2018, committed suicide, mentally unstable, failed to provide mental help, instead placed in solitary confinement, meaning this guy let these people know that he was not feeling right, that he needed help, that he was afraid for his life, that he felt like he was going to do something to himself. And they put this man in solitary confinement where he committed suicide. Please also notate that it took well over 30 minutes for the ambulance to drive approximately a mile and a half to the location to assist in this matter. April 4th, Charles R. McCullough, 66 years old, same day, y'all, failed to provide proper medical attention. August 15th, Lucius Bolton, failed to provide medical attention. This young man was 29 years old, y'all. Curtis Hughes, 45 years old, failed to provide proper medical attention. This is all in Parchman, MSP. James Myrick, 63 years old, failed to provide proper medical attention. August 31st, 2018, Richard Beasley, 55 years old, failed to provide proper medical attention. April 6th, Gerald Spencer, mental health inmate, committed suicide. Unit 30, same issues as all the other ones. South Mississippi Correctional Institution. August 5th, 2018, Jack Glisson, 70 years old, natural cause, shortage of staff. Tony Howard, mental health inmate, set on fire by another inmate with gasoline. He was housed in a lockdown unit where no other inmates should be without proper supervision. Excuse me, y'all. In March 13, 2018, this is at SMCI. Terry Dorwood died due to an aneurysm of the brain after being told by medical staff that he was just experiencing a migraine headache, and they gave him ibuprofen. Hours later, he died. Queen Tahara, how you doing?
I'm doing well, brothers. It's tough to hear those statistics, so I must say.
Yeah, that's the effect that is vital for the viewers. I need the viewers to understand that I just named over 15 guys who lost their lives that could have been saved if these people would have done their jobs. Imagine if that was your loved one. Imagine your child screaming for help, calling for help, then actually call 911 and said, please help me. And you have the people there that are hired, that you're paying taxpayers' dollars, you see what I'm saying, to make sure these people are employed to protect these guys, and they just paid no mind. You see what I'm saying? Like, these guys are punished at the point where they are sentenced. A lot of people in the public feel, I understand the motto of you do the crime, you do the time. I understand that. But what I'm saying is they are human beings. And I also understand that everybody that's incarcerated, they're not guilty of the crime. You have a lot of guys who have been victims of an unjust justice system, a crooked or corrupt justice system, as I can say. These guys are fighting for their lives where they shouldn't have to. They should be able to educate themselves. They should be able to take care of themselves and groom themselves properly. They should be able to live in clean conditions. They should not have to worry about going to medical for a heart condition and getting the ibuprofen, because from my understanding, that's the only medication they really give these guys for some of everything. The food services that they hire these food services, food companies for cheap, so that they can save money off the top. They've been found guilty of this before. This corporation, this agency, receives almost $1 million a year for education. MSP, you have guys who are signed up for school that haven't seen a school classroom in over a year. So if you are paying money and you care about where your money goes, this is something that you also should be concerned about, because whereas they are quick to say, when we're talking about recidivism now, right, these guys are going to go out and do this again, they're criminals, they need to be locked up forever. Okay, if you put these guys in a situation where they have time to better themselves and they are supposed to be allowed the materials and the freedom and the ability to better themselves, but you deny them of that, you're only creating monsters. You're part of the problem yourself. So when I read the definition of recidivism and I used an example and I said the prison has succeeded in reducing, that's untrue. They failed. They failed. These guys are crying out for their lives inside of this prison. You had an inmate who had a family member, from my understanding, just today, drove all the way from Biloxi, Mississippi, to Parchment. It's a 5-hour drive, y'all, to only be told that they have to go home because the inmate had an RVR, which is a write-up, and he was on restriction. Come to find out, the inmate hadn't had an RVR in over a year. But think about it. How can that person make up that gas money that they spent? How can they make up taking a day off of work? Because these people didn't take the time or concern to look into the matter to see where they was making a mistake at. They don't care. They don't care. And also looking in the standpoint of some of these officers, you got to understand, in Parchment, MSP, these people come to work at 7, sometimes they get off at 11 the next day. They work them like 16 hours, right? Okay, they're tired also. MDOC has a shortage of staff problem, not because of the picture they paint where the guys are violent. It's because these people don't want to be a part of the corruption that goes on that they see and they've heard about within this prison system. It's not a secret, but it's the fact that people are turning a blind eye to it. And it's not fair. It's not right. Because these guys are fathers, their sons, their brothers, their husbands, their boyfriends, their best friends. They are human beings. And as a people, we have to understand that. We have to understand that these guys deserve the opportunity to be treated like human beings. And that is the reason why we decided to bring this show forward, to even give this today's title as The Awakening, because people need to be woke up. They need to understand that it's just because there are so many things going on in the world, this is a world within itself also, and it's becoming more corrupt every day. And when you have over 17 people die in a prison system due to staff not doing their job, that's a problem. That is a problem. That's a form of genocide when they're allowing guys to drink unhealthy water, when they're feeding them food that's poison, it's no good for them. They have meat that they call mystery meat because nobody can say what this meat is made of. That's not right. That's not right. And we need you callers, you listeners, you viewers to understand that these guys over the past few years, calling in on this show, doing rallies and protests, writing ARP forms, which is a form that they use to write complaints to the administration of MDOC to try to exhaust their remedy and receive a resolution to their problems and situations. That's another thing that they don't do according to their policy. So they feel defeated because so many times these guys have reached out to the public only to get, yeah, we're going to do this, we're going to show up, we're going to come, we're going to do this, we're going to make calls, and these things don't get done. So it's like MDOC is a big bully that feels like they can't be touched. They feel like, you know, the people are not going to waste their time with these inmates. You know what I'm saying? Because that's the outlook. That's the way things look and the way things have gone for years. And we're looking for solutions. We're looking for assistance. We're looking for ways to get these guys' voices heard and to get these guys' situations taken care of, because there are so many. MDOC is an inefficient management agency because they violate so many laws. They violate their own policies that were created to govern them within their own entity, it, there's no way possible that guys are supposed to be being abused, that people are supposed to be allowed to die. There's been rumors where guys have said, I'm going to hang myself, and the inmates say, I mean, the officers will say things like, F it, go ahead and do it. If that is the attitude that of someone who's paid to protect someone, then that's the wrong combination. And you got to understand, like, when these guys are reaching out for help and they're already stressed out and they're going through things and their living conditions are horrible and everywhere they turn, they can't get any help. Some guys' minds are not as strong as others. Some guys don't have outside support to say, you know, hold on, you only have a few months left. Hold on, you only have a year left. Hold on, we got you, we're getting you a lawyer. A lot of these guys don't have that. And it's unfair when a person has decided to change their life and do better and be a positive, productive person in such society once they go home, that they're met with so many different challenges to the point to where they just give up. This is a system that's supposed to be a rehabilitation system for these guys. But it's more guys dying and coming out, you know what I'm saying, the wrong way, because they're not being afforded the things that they need to survive.
It definitely is, brother. One thing I want to ask, and forgive me, you know, but I really want the listeners to understand, there are a lot of agencies that say that they advocate and things like that. And so who in the state of Mississippi, even looking at some of the information that the MDOT has on its website, there's supposed to be a legal defense protocol for inmates, inmate legal assistance program.
They don't have it.
And so when people see this on the surface, it looks like, you know, they're doing what they're supposed to do, but the reality is quite something different. So can you talk about some of the agencies that you have reached out to and why there's not more monitoring taking place in the state of Mississippi, in your opinion?
So far, from the last past 4 years, these guys have reached out to the ACLU, and they reached out to the Southern Poverty Law Center. At one point, it was told that some of the people that were in the administration, you know, the upper echelon of the ACLU, were tied, had political ties with the guy who is the governor at this time, at this moment. And these people were refrained. They said they didn't have enough staff in the state of Mississippi, because, you know, they have branches in every state. And they said they didn't have enough staff to deal with that big of an issue, which kind of was a shock to me. We have heard news that they are willing to assist us now, but that is the response as far as past assistance. But we are trying to get these guys some assistance from the prison reform people. We've been hearing that these people are working tirelessly to help bring about change within the system. We're asking all parents, all attorneys to these inmates, all these inmates who have ways of reaching out by letter, to if they know anybody that's dealing with prison reform in their family or friends or family or whatever, to contact these guys. There's going to be some information given after the show. These guys are striving to get change. And these companies and these agencies that are designed to assist, they either take their time or it seems like they're afraid when it comes to MDOC. I'm not going to bite my tongue about it. So it's like a challenge right now. You know what I'm saying? That's why the show is called The Awakening Today. The title of this show is called The Awakening, because people need to open their eyes up to the fact that these guys have exhausted their remedies, and they're looking for ways, in positive ways, to get their word, to their problems out, their voices heard. We offer for suggestions to hire, because they've reached out to so many people, you know what I'm saying, only to receive the same results that they've been receiving over the years. So before we come with letter two, I'll allow Dale to read letter two. Is there anything else you want to say, because I know you, and I don't think you finished with that right now, so come on with it.
Yeah. Yeah, there is. Another thing that people really need to understand is that there is no rehabilitation anymore with the Department of Corrections. It's strictly about corrections. And when a lot of us in the freedom movement speak about reform, you know, the conversation has been had that we really can't reform a system that never represented our best interests in the first place, especially when we look at it from the perspective of being melanated people. So the language that we use, the things that we do, the energy that we give certain words and etymology, we either give ourselves power or we allow power to be taken away from us. So it's just my opinion, and you know, we're open for discussion with those that are listening and those that are part of the call. You know, we can't reform a system that was never intended to represent our best interests as melanated people, and I yield.
All good, Queen. We're gonna move on to letter two, and what we're gonna do is, after this, today I was expecting to have a guy on the show that his thing is prison reform. He's a very occupied individual, and we respect the fact that he takes his time and his efforts to make sure that the word is out about what goes on within his penal system. So I understand the fact that he wasn't able to be on today, but we have people that we have asked to come on also who are willing to assist and help, you know what I'm saying, give us advice. Because like I say, we're seekers also. We're open to any ideas that are positive and productive and ways that we can help these guys. Pastor Patterson, I see you on also, and I want to also tell you thank you. Also, we have Smoke D from the the UGK online today. We also have, I think this is Mr. Danny Kemp and my guy Asiatic Black, who's a YouTube blogger. With that being said, y'all be patient with us. We're going to ride y'all in real soon, fam. With that being said, Dale, I think you got another letter, fam, and I really want you to grace the show with this letter. Y'all bear with me, man. This is really serious. Like, I'm calm right now, but and I'm really, you know, I do my thing. I'm the Bim Bim, you know what I'm saying? I see you, Brother Kruger. I do my thing. I cut up, I show out, you know what I'm saying? That's what people know me for. Usually I'd be hyped up on the show, but this is a matter where people really need, and I appreciate y'all for calling on, but I want y'all, when y'all hang this phone up, when the show is over, to understand that this show was not to waste anybody's time. This information that we are giving y'all are true facts, and we need these things to be investigated, looked into if you don't, you know, if you want to have to reconfirm that these are facts, and help us do something about it. We're going to air this show every week. We're going to continue to fight for these guys on the inside, and we're going to do everything we can to assist them. With that being said, Dale, I would like for you to grace the show with letter number two. We're going to continue to give these people a glimpse of from these guys on the inside perspective of what they go through. With that being said, fam, are you ready?
All good. Greeting. Letter two. I trust and pray my letter finds you in the kitchen in the best of life. I love you. Just sitting here wishing you all could come and visit me once again here in SMCI. We're on lockdown because they're short of staff. I just don't understand. They say we can't have visitation due to short of staff, but they have enough staff to shake us down looking for contraband. They have enough staff to make us go to work and do the job they get paid for. On a daily basis, I see officers, lieutenants, and captains come to the zone and ask inmates for the count. Yesterday, I saw a guy get beat up by K-9 because the female lieutenant was in the tower asleep, and the guy kept going to the tower telling her he needed medical attention because his sugar was low. She called the K-9, told him he had threatened her. After they beat him up, they realized he was telling the truth about his sugar. He almost went into a diabetic coma and was rushed to the hospital. When they brought him back, they put him in lockdown and rolled him up for assault on the officer to cover their wrong. Baby, this place is really messed up where I can make it home safe and healthy. Before I came to prison, I used to think the inmates got what they deserved being here. but now I know I was wrong for my way of thinking. Being in this place has really opened my eyes to the injustice and inhumane conditions of incarceration that the public knows nothing about. Because the reception of prison they are fed through the lies and cover-ups, since I have been here, I haven't seen any form of correction or rehabilitation. It made me truly question what's happening with the hard-earned dollars of our taxpayers. There are no educational programs. Then I have seen situations where guys are up for parole or EIS, early release supervision, but can't go home because the case manager is not at work, or when they are there, they don't know what to do. Guys' families be calling to here to check on them. And all the staff here does is give them the runaround and lies. I remember how I used to see articles in the newspaper about guys in prison, and I used to say, forget those criminals. They deserve what they get. I would have never believed any of this if I hadn't experienced it myself. Now I have come to realize that they are just what we are, humans too. And they are gravely being mistreated because of the perception of them that is paying to a society that doesn't know the truth. Baby, I continue to pray for us all, and I promise once I am free, I will do all that I can to shed light on this type of injustice and inhumane condition. I truly thank God for my experience. I know now he did it for me to open my eyes. I'll be home in 36 days flat time. Can't wait. I love you. Give the kids my love. Thank you.
Amazing. Tahira, sis.
Yeah.
I wanna do something real different real quick. You know, we've been doing a lot the last few weeks, me and you, concerning this show. But you know, I never got a chance to let you meet this brother, right? Okay. This is public. I like doing you like this, Kruger. I really like doing you like this. This is an older brother, right? And you know how I like picking on older people, right? So,
right, yeah.
This brother right here is an educator, right? And he's old school, you know, he's old school, real old fashioned. I'm talking about like mason jar, old fashioned. He has a love for helping these guys. He has a love for opening these guys' minds up to how awesome they can be if they just, you know, just realize who they are. You know what I'm saying? He has a way with these guys, with education. He's well respected, and he's a guy that, you know what I'm saying, he knows the law also. You see what I'm saying? And he's somebody that I have a lot of respect for. And I appreciate for his efforts throughout the years that he's worked with these guys. And I want to give him a few minutes to give the show something. I hope he's prepared because I put him on the spot, though, but I've seen his number, so I'm finna see if he stay ready all the time. So we finna check on that. Y'all give me 1 second. Sometimes okay. All good. Y'all gotta bear with me. Sometimes this show gives me issues with the mics and things. Where you at, Brother Kruger?
I'm right here, fam.
All good. Yep. All good. You see, you sound humble, don't you, sis? Listen to him.
Yeah.
Is you ready, big dog?
Yes, sir. I stay ready.
All the time, y'all. I yield right now.
First of all, I'd like to say, if I may, that is, you know, it's an honor to be here, you know, to speak. Because last week, and I just want to elaborate on what you were talking about earlier, it was a brother named Woodrow Russell. He died of cancer last year. And I was just happening to be one of the fortunate ones to be there with him. You know, to see his love on her. Because this cancer could have been treated. But being that he came here with 3 years, matter of fact, I'm going to give y'all a little history. He came here with 3 years. Dealing with a corruption correction office. And they got in an altercation. The officer got hit. With Russell filed a lawsuit later on about the living condition when he was on death row at the time.
And on his living condition, they would have had a complaint with the AUCLU about the living condition, about the humanity that they were facing. You know, like the ping pong toilet with the waste bag up from the next toilet to the next man's cell toilet. Roof is leaking and all this nature. Feces, any other inmates screaming in the hospital. He went through all this endurance. And in doing so, over the years, he also had a grudge because he, number one, he won at a lawsuit and they had to shut down Unit 32. But these same living conditions is still going on in these facilities. Not just only in MSP, but also every facility, because they lack the funding, or when they do get their funding, they put it somewhere else. You know, and this brother, you know, is on his 90s. And he said, Brother Krugerman, I need you, man. I need you not to let this happen to someone else. And this brother, him, was on what you call chronic care before we get checkup every 6 months. He had lung cancer. And they didn't, and it got to the stage four. They didn't catch it in time, they told us. So they couldn't treat. So the only thing they can do is sit there and watch him suffer. You know, and there's so many of these brothers that getting untreated and getting the proper help they get. And just like brothers, Miss Sherman saying is when you dealing with this system, you dealing with people that got stuck in prison system. So it's an economic growth. It's why it's mass incarceration, because it draws funds into this. It's, and then a shorter staff on top of that. That's why you get poor health treatment. You know, there's no one to make sure they get in the problem. Help treatment they get, they don't even have the proper training to recognize some problems. You got brothers and sisters closing in a cell for 24 hours a day. The walls are closing down. You got people just hollering in back and forth. This noise is constant for 24/7. So then mentally, it's breaking another brother's heart down, because when you stop their visitation and stop the commissary where they can purchase stamps and stuff like that nation to call their loved ones, you're doing a toll on them. You treat them on who? And then plus the living condition they are in, you constantly treat them like animals. You know, and there's no such thing as rehabilitation when you don't have a platform for rehabilitation. Your mind frame is throw away the key and forget about that. Treat them as animals, because we don't want you out of prison, because the simple fact is you make more money for us doing this labor for us. Why would we let you go? We need somebody to do the labor and stuff of that nature. So that's why they constantly facing this problem that we face. The water is contaminated, which causing liver and cancer, hepatitis. This is what they had on the bulletin board where they spoke of. But yet and still they hide it. They hide it because they don't care about us. They don't care about your love. All they want to do is throw you behind these bars where you can do this later. Well, you can draw them revenue to build up on their economic growth. They constantly squall. This is more people locked up in America at this time than since slavery was implemented in 1843. It's more inmates now than it was slavery that come across the mothership. We are constantly coming back to history. And then they say, well, your ARP, which is called agreement form, is taking months and months for you to even get a reply. it's causing more problem after more problem. And then they say, well, we're going to fix that. We're going to look off into it. There's nothing we can do or nothing about that. Just throw them in a cell. Or if you refuse to come out of the cell because it's more safer there for them at that moment because of the environment that they don't play them in. Like a brother said, his life, brother, life's in danger. They don't care, right? That's why we are reaching out to the side to try to come up with a better prison form system. Something that can stop these brothers and sisters from coming in the thing, and as well as the one wants to come out, you know, where they can be better to stop, better to duck, you know. I just ask you, you know, just bear with us. We're going to pass this mask on con. Every day and every week is going to be different stories that we're going to bring to y'all, family. With that, I yield the floor, and stay tuned.
All good, all good, all good. That's my guy, y'all. Sis, that's my pawpaw right there. That's my pawpaw. You heard him say stay tuned, so you know he's coming back. He will be back, you heard?
I know that's right.
I had to love him, man, to keep him crying, sis. I want you to respond, but sometimes you got to laugh to keep him crying because this stuff is sad. It's sad, Tahara. I didn't mean to cut you off, sis. Go ahead. It's just was amazing, man.
Well, yeah. I mean, and the money issue as it relates to services, just looking at some preliminary numbers from the state of Mississippi, they have the money to provide rehabilitation services. They have the money to feed inmates properly. They have the money for medical and mental health services and care. It's just that they're very, very top-heavy in looking at how much they spent in salaries, and this goes back to 2012. In salaries alone, the Mississippi Department of Corrections spent almost $115 million. And that's just in salaries. They have travel expenses. They have another $39 million allocated for contractual services. They have $50 million allocated for medical services. So they have the money. And it's a shame that there's not enough monitoring and holding these people accountable. What do you all think on getting – because we can't seem to get the attention of the U.S. and the people that are supposed to represent the best interests of the people in positions of trust, what do you think about taking our plea for justice to the international stage? And I yield.
We are for taking it to any stage that will get these guys the help that they need. Is that a state of emergency right now? And I want the viewers to understand that, the listeners to understand that this matter is a state of emergency because you got to understand that these guys are being sent to prison without the death penalty and they are dying. There has to be an explanation for that. They're dying for reasons unknown. They're practicing the whole system is corrupt. Again, inefficient management agency. The whole prison system is corrupt from the administration on down to the officers, man. This is crazy, the stories. Like, these stories that y'all are getting now, there are more. There are more. And we will continue to give y'all those. I see a caller, Rochelle. I appreciate you for calling, too, sister. She's a nurse. We're going to get her on, too. At this point right now, y'all know I usually would turn up. But we are serious about getting this point across to the public, and I'm not going to stop until I feel like we have got the message across to the callers and the listeners. So with that being said, we're coming up on 30 minutes left on the show. I'm going to allow Asiatic to come on. We're going to give y'all guys probably five to 6 minutes apiece to speak on your own behalf, and we're going to close the show from there. Because we have several people that came on that I've spoken to my consultant Papoose, and he's told me that these people are willing to lend some assistance. So So with that being said, I'm gonna let Asiatic come on first. And Pastor, I think I'm gonna not, no disrespect towards you, I'm gonna let you be last because for a certain reason, sir. Asiatic, I'm looking to see if he's still on, and I don't see him at the moment. But I think I'm going to go ahead and move forward with Smoke. For all y'all people that don't know of this guy, if y'all are y'all musically inclined and you from the South, you should automatically know what I mean when I say UGK. This guy was with us before, and he was instrumental with being a part of the movement and staying in tune with the things that we had going on. And I'm glad that he was allowed. He sat and listened to the show so far, so we can get an opinion from him. With that being said, I'm going to allow my guy Smoke D, man. How you doing, brother?
Hey, brother, how you doing?
All good. Queen Tahara, this is Smoke D, man. I already said this before, sis. He can't rap better than me. We ain't gonna talk about how much I'm gonna put on that. We'll talk about this later, Smoke. So don't try me right now, fam. But I'm gonna go on let you speak on what you've heard so far, fam. With that being said, I'm gonna yield, brother.
Okay, thank you, brother. Nice to meet you too, sister. I thank y'all for having me. I have a unique position because I've been able to see and spend 17 years on the inside and get out and see what, you know, what's taking place on the outside. And it, to me, it's like we fight an invisible war with silent weapons. And like the brother said, they don't care. Something has to take place to where it's like 1 + 1 = 2. It's not the answer that's the answer. It's what it's going to take to get the answer. That's the answer. And so we have to find a way to put a togetherness with this situation, you know, to have someone out here to really do it. I mean, I've been putting together some programs to you know, try to facilitate that because they don't care. We could talk all day about what they're going to do and what they're not. They don't want to do anything. It's just the point. We have to do it ourselves. And so I'm looking now to try to get like a voter party. You have a lot of inmates that are incarcerated that actually have the ability to get out and vote, you see. And if you do that on a national scale, then that creates a voter party. Politicians will have to come and bring something in order to get a vote. It's things like that. You have programs that I would like to set up, you know, through a 501c3 to come into the prison, so, you know, to provide inmates with the help to help themselves and their family. You know, you may have a lot of inmates that like to write books. I have a book system set up to where they can get their books written. You know, legal assistance. There's lawyers out here that you can put together. It has to come from out here on a platform that's individualistically established outside of the ACLU or all of these other programs, because all they are is just figureheads that just come in and give you a smooth answer. They're not going to do anything, you see. And as far as health care, you know, the inmates that are not even in there, I can't get health care now, you see. So they're not going to get it. All they want to do, you know, they had the thing where lock them up and throw away the key. That doesn't work anymore. I've been talking to a couple of guys, philanthropists or whatever, and they're trying to figure out ways to house people out here because they'll get a guy in there young, work him to death, make money off of him. Then he gets sick, and then they have to spend four times as much money to take care of him while he's in there. So it's not working. All this is, I mean, the sister said they spend millions of dollars. This is a multi-billion dollar industry. They're not going to stop it. They don't want to stop it. You know, so we have to come together and get something that's going to be suggestive to getting something done and bringing attention to this, you know, on a national level. And the way to do that is you have to get into these politicians. You have to get to them. You have to provide stuff that's going to make them want to listen, because that's where it's going to go. As far as the people that's under them, the captains, lieutenants, wardens, and all of that, they can't do anything unless these people put it into play. The only way that you can fight this is with law and by the law. You know, that's just for my situation and sitting here. It's harder out here when you come from a place like this. You know, they got the intake. They don't have individual psychological evaluations set up. You know, I hear guys say, he was saying the guys hang themselves. Some of these people are mentally ill, but we all get the same plate of food regardless. You see, it's designed to do just what we're talking about. You know, that's why we're, you know, together on this platform today. But it has to be some kind of outside togetherness that we can, you know, put into place and bring together, and not just talk. We have to put something together that's real.
Preach,
and get a
preach,
definition
preach.
To what we're doing. You know, I don't know altogether, you know, what has to go on, but I'm doing my part, and like I would like to get, because if we work in as individualistic, you know, entities, you know, and just coming on the phone, it's not going to work. We have to get together out here, because they can't do anything in there. They're desensitized. Everything that can be done to them is just to keep them alive to work. You know, they get a job in there, they can't even get the same job once they get out here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I've been, you know, out like going on 4 years, and I'm a hair away from going back. And I've been successful with the music and whatnot. It's designed to do exactly what it's doing. Like I said, we're in an invisible war with silent weapons. And I don't want to go on and get into it too much, you know, but I appreciate what's going on. I thank y'all for coming together, but I think, like I said, the answer is to get together out here. And if we could compile or set something up to where we could get all of the inmates' names, DOC numbers, you know, people that are interested, and get them involved, because this is going to have to happen, you know, pretty much under the radar. Because if you do this and bring it to the forefront, you're going to have people that not want it to happen, because at the end of the day, it all goes back to money. That's it. Yeah, I yield my time. Thank you. Thank you, bro.
All good, brother. Where you at, Tahari? Is something you wanted to say, sis?
Well, I just want to, second what he was saying as far as accountability goes, just in looking at the chief medical officer for the MDOC is a sister by the name of Gloria Perry. And the Patricia Hall is the commissioner of the Mississippi
yes.
Department of Corrections. I mean, these are sisters, and it seems as though they would want the MDOC to be more accountable. So, you know, these are key people that we need to be putting some political pressure on, if you will, because the court of public opinion still matters. And I don't know if you all are familiar with the art of war, but that's one of the tactics that has been used successfully in the past when, you know, it is looked at from the war perspective, is the court of public opinion. So these two sisters need to be held more accountable for what they are or not doing. And it looks like there was a huge protest behind those supposed suicides that happened since 2018, but really in August of 2018, but really not much else has happened as far as accountability. So, we've got some key people in key positions that look like us that are either going to be gatekeepers or waymakers, and I yield.
All good. And something else we got to do, stop doing public people that's listening, we need to stop reacting when something happens and then a few moments later letting it die down. Sometimes you got to apply pressure. You have to keep it applied. When you have a platform to expose injustices and things like this of this nature, you don't let up on them. They haven't let up on these guys. Stop guys from dying. They haven't stopped showing that they're not concerned about these guys' well-being. So it's not fair on the behalf of these inmates to give up. and to speak on their behalf, they haven't given up. You have some that have. And things like these are created, like this show is created, to try to find ways to keep these guys from giving up. With that being said, we're coming up on 20 minutes from the show's conclusion. And Pastor Patterson, I see you still on, brother. I appreciate you for being on all this time. Smoke D, I want to appreciate you too, family. I'm going to get your contact. I'm going to get Tahira, your contact, and we're going to get on a conversation with you too and a couple more guys to discuss some things and methods that we can use, fam, some ideas. You know what I'm saying? We striving and we seeking, bro. So you already know what I mean by that. We're trying to do our best, man, to get these guys some help. With that being said, Pastor Patterson, I want to join him to the show. Are you on, Mr. Patterson?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Oh, good, sir. I appreciate you for being on. You've been one of the first callers. So that shows that you're concerned. Is there anything that you'd like to say or elaborate on concerning this matter, fam?
Well, I mean, just listening to the situation and circumstances that have been brought forth, it brings light to what I've been hearing a lot of. You know, I've had various family members to go through the system and to know that, you know, it's corrupt from the inside out, you know, and it's about the money, it's about the free labor, and to live in a state where you have more state funded prisons than you do state funded institutions of higher learning, that says something about where we are, you know. But we have to make sure that, you know, we face this in the right perspective with God as the lead, you know, because without God we can do nothing, you know, but with him all things are possible. So, you know, my perspective is this: to make sure that brothers get a relationship with God, you know, and let God be their guide, you know, and dealing with these situations and circumstances in their lives. And with that, you know, we can grow and become, you know, who he wants us to be, you know. But sometimes brothers don't understand that right now they're not buried, they're just planted. And the situation looks the same, you know, being buried and being planted looks the same. Because you dig a hole, you put something in it, and you cover it up, you know. But when you're planted, that means you're going to come up out of that hole, and you're going to come up out of that hole better and more productive than what you were when you went in the hole, you know. But being buried, you're just dead, you know. But these brothers have to realize they're being planted, and they're in a dark place now, but they're coming out with the help of the Lord. And that's my perspective, and I just believe that God is able to do it. And I yield.
All the time. We appreciate you, Pastor. We appreciate you. And we will be communicating with you also. We have your information. It's something special that I want to talk with you about too, Pastor Patterson. And I just got your text. If there's anything that you would like to add to the show, please let me know, and I can try to squeeze and get you in, family, with no problem. Sister Rochelle, I would like to bring you on real quick. I had an opportunity to hire her to speak with this young lady a few days ago, which was last week, concerning the show. And I kind of gave her a heads up on the type of things that we were going to discuss. And she was informative. She also gave me some intel to give to the guys on the inside to research. And she's been part of the show also, like Pastor and Smoke, listening in. And I want to bring her on the show from the perspective of a nurse, someone who works in that field, and listening to what's been going on with these guys on the inside concerning medical issues. So we have a professional outlook and opinion on that. Sister Rochelle, how you doing?
I don't think she thought I was going to put on the spot like that. Are you on, Rochelle? I'm hoping I'm doing this right. Y'all forgive me. I'm it's the first show.
Okay, y'all. I'm sorry. I'm here.
Okay. Oh, you throw me off now. I was finna just say, okay, good. You already know I was going to talk a little noise now. So listen. Now you listen to what's been going on, all right? And you're hearing the issues with medical situations going on in MDOC. I want you to give me your personal opinion on it real quick, but I also want you to give these guys some advice that they can use to assist them, if you may. Could you help us with that real quick, please?
Yeah, sure. One, I want to clear, I'm not a nurse, but I do work for the legal division for the Mississippi Department of Nursing. And for me, it is very important that not only do we govern the licensees that are working in local hospitals and nursing homes, but also within correctional institutions. So to hear that you all are not receiving adequate care in a timely manner is very bothersome, because that's one of our main goals as a state agency. I do want to inform you that you can file a public complaint. All of the information that pertains to nurses is public information. There is a number you can call, and there's also a website you can visit. Now, it is also important that you have as much information pertaining to that nurse as possible, first and last name, license number, date of birth, just so if an investigator has to go out, they are certain of which nurse they are to be investigating. And if there's anything that I can do to further assist, then feel free to contact me. You have my information, and I'll be more than willing to just kind of guide you all in the right direction.
All good. Do you have that website or that number on hand right now? If you do, want
yes.
to provide it for the people
mm-hmm.
on the show. Okay, good. I'm writing myself. I'm listening. Come on with us, sis.
Okay, so our website is www.msbasinboys.ms.gov. That's Mississippi State Board of Nursing.ms.gov. And our phone number is 601-957-6300.
All good. Sahara, do you have anything for this sister, this melanated sister? I know you like to use that word. Queen Sahara,
can you hear me? Thank you, sis, for being willing to, you know, be a go-to. You know, this mm-hmm. issue is so broad. We need as many experts and expertise. Thank you so much for your
And
I yield.
All good. Y'all, we experienced a little bad weather, so y'all bear with us with that. Sister Rochelle, we really appreciate you, and we will be contacting you. We have some guys, my guys, matter of fact, are working on some things. Mm-hmm. And all intel is good intel, and we appreciate you for caring enough to be concerned about guys and be willing to assist us. So with that being said, we want to show on behalf of the show, we want to thank you, Smoke and Pastor Patterson, for giving y'all intel and be willing to provide assistance. Okay, all good. Thank you, sis. I want to do something right now. I don't know. I seen the guy text me, but you never responded back. I'm figuring that you didn't want to speak on that. But I do want to say this. These people that's come on this show, the ones that read things, that gave information, these people take time out throughout their day to study things, to research things, to make phone calls, to try to do everything they can to bring political awareness to guys on the inside and their families. Papoose, we're coming up on 10 minutes. I was looking for his number. Y'all excuse me for stopping right there. I was looking for his number, but I don't see it. If you can text me the number that he's on real quick, I can get him on. But I don't see him right now. And I'm seriously, I really don't see him right now, because the number that was provided is not on the board right now. So if you can provide me with that number real quick, I can link him in. I don't see the number. I don't see the number for you, Asiatic. Could y'all text me at 228-234-2202, and I can try to link you in before we close the show out. I'll be waiting on that also, the intel. But I need y'all people to see that these guys on the inside, these guys are, you know, like, okay, you have guys that have done wrong, right? When we're talking about the people that have rehabilitated themselves, they have great minds, they can be change makers in society. We all know that the youth, they need help, they need leadership. They don't have boys and girls clubs and things like that no more. They don't have, you know, the big homies and the OGs that, like they used to. They used to teach people to do the right things, respect your elders, and feed the community and protect the community and clean the community up. A lot of people are not exemplifying that. And you have guys on the inside that have that ability, that are respected. These guys have changed, and these guys talk about growth and positive and productivity and opening up businesses and building the neighborhoods back up. The same thing that young brother Nipsey Hussle did. Imagine guys being rehabilitated, with the mind frame that this young man had. This man took a neighborhood, which I had the opportunity to be in as a young adolescent, that was a gang infested and still is, you know, neighborhood, and opened up so many different stores, scientific research centers for people to let their kids, you know, educate themselves and elevate their education to levels that will have them advanced in life. You know what I'm saying? And you have guys in prison like that with those type of minds. Imagine a mind like that being that strong to going from, I can't make it in here no more. There's no way around it. Like, I can't take this anymore. It's too much pressure. It's too much stress. And ending his life. These people that smoke said they designed this system to stress these guys out so much till they can't result in nothing but violence, ignorance, and taking their own lives. That's not rehabilitation to me. That's not fair to me. And we're going to do everything we can to stop it. We're not giving up until we stop what's going on with MDOC. Before the show gets to a close, and I'm still looking for you, Asiatic. I do not see your number, family. I promise you I don't. Unless that's you with that 224 number. If that's you, please text me back right now, fam, and I can get you on in the last 5 minutes. That's my word. Tahira, this show is going to make a difference. I understand, I feel it, and I acknowledge it right now on behalf of our first episode and the callers that's listening. We're going to make a difference because we're not going to stop. We're going to educate the public. We're going to try to unite the public the best that we can. We're going to try to unite these guys on the inside on a positive and productive level. We're going to try to get people to see that if you come together as a whole, you can bring change. Just like Smoke said, people on the outside have to unite, just like these guys on the inside have to unite. You know what I'm saying? It has to be the same methods taken to get the same outcome. With that being said, where are you? Okay. Here comes this text, y'all. Y'all give me 1 second. We're working on the last few minutes right now. All right.
Okay, can you hear me?
I see. Yeah, I can hear you, sis. My brother Pap finna jump on me, man. I got to get my guy, Asiatic, on.
Ashe.
Oh, okay. Okay. That's what I'm saying, sis. I don't see him on this board at all. The number that I was provided is not on here. If he's called
open,
from another
open
number,
the 224.
Say it again.
Open the 224.
Okay, give me 1 second. Boom. Asiatic, is that you?
Yes, sir.
Man, listen here, brother. This is a melanated brother right here, sister. This is my guy. I apologize. You switched numbers on me. You know you did, and you kind of made me look bad, but I'm going to let you make it right now. Talk to us, bro. Talk to us. Do your thing, fam.
Greetings to everybody. My thing, honestly, just listening to you all, is quite commendable to have you individuals trying your best to do what you can for those brothers and sisters for that matter on the inside, is real rough. I've been doing my research and my homework, trying to make use of them peas. They real valuable, but only if you utilize them. And it's dangerous in that environment down there right now. And I know, me having been in the system myself for as long as I was, I know how valuable it is to have individuals in the streets that's pushing on your behalf, because you almost are invisible. That might be being nice when I say almost. You really are invisible to the streets. And the only way in which you can get your proper due is to have individuals that that care enough and they're willing to actually participate in helping you all. You put behind walls because you've been convicted of whatever, and the whole process is designed for making you better. And at the point when you become better, you should be allowed to show it. It's not designed, at least on their papers, to be punishment. You know, it's not designed for that. It's supposed to put you in a position where you get better. And when you get better, you should be able to contribute to society in a positive and productive way. Now, if I didn't know any better, you would think that the stage is being set to make people worse so that when they do come home, they'll be guaranteed to do what it takes to get back and keep that system going. I don't want to take a lot of y'all time. I know this is my first time on here. I'm going to just simply say this. I represent Switch Lanes, which is a national nonprofit organization. It is geared towards helping individuals to do what the name says, which is to switch lanes from one part of your life, which may not be so positive, productive, to a better part of your life. And whether it be outside or in, we trying to do our job. So I need to get a little bit more detail on what it is that we may be able to do on a national scale to contribute to the betterment of you guys and girls on the inside. And once I get that information, I can dissect it and get on the attack. So I don't want to take up much of your time. I just wanted to put that out there so you can hear it from me and your whole audience can hear me say it. We here to help as best we can in any realistic way. I'm not going to profess to be able to do something that I can't. But what I can, myself and everybody involved, we'll make sure to sound the alarm. And that's about it for me. Unless y'all have any questions for me.
All good, sis. We got like a minute and a half left. Hey, I thank y'all for being on this show, The Movement 720, man. It's been amazing. I appreciate every single one of you people that called in. Queen Tahira, what do you got to say, man? I mean, this we going to keep this going. I just want to see if you want to elaborate real quick before the show ends.
Ashe, the future lies ahead of us, and it is very bright. All we have to do is continue to organize, continue to strategize, and continue to treat each other with brotherly love and sisterly love and respect, and the sky's the limit. So let's make it happen in the vision of 720, and I yield.
All good. Listen, we Asiatic, we're going to exchange some numbers, and we're going to get Tahira. I think we're going to set up some type of conference where we can get together and discuss some avenues. Asiata, we're going to get you that intel you need, fam, to help us and assist us with these guys. Smoke, we're going to do the same thing with you. Pastor, if there's anything that you can assist, if there's any people you know on the clergy level or the political level that can assist us, that will hear our story, hear these guys cry, and are willing to assist. We're also working on getting these guys registered to vote so they can make a difference within the communities that they live in and help get people in the office that are going to do what they say. We're making strides to assist these guys and have these guys be productive part people in society once they're released. And even if they're not able to be released, that they're able to be leaders on the inside so that they can grow from these that come through this prison system, man. We're trying to stop recidivism. We're trying to stop that. We're going to stop it. With that being said, we only have a few seconds left. I thank y'all for tuning in, all you guys that's on. With that being said, I'm going to leave y'all with that guy and allow y'all to hear his words yourself.
Hello?
Let me speak to Jay.
Who is?
It's Larry Hoover.
Hold on, Chief.
across a memo on his desk stating that.
Hello?
Hey, Jay. What's happening, man?
How you doing?
Oh, I'm pretty good. Still fighting this frame.
Uh-huh. How everything going?
Oh, it's rough on a black man.
Huh. Yeah, I've been hearing a lot of different things, but no, ain't nothing like hearing it straight out the horse's mouth, you know?
Well, the truth is, niggas in the street got to get together all over the nation. I thought we got to get together in Chicago, we got to get together in L.A., we got to get together in Houston, we got to get together in New York, we got to get together in Detroit. Niggas got to get together all over this nation. I'm talking about not the regular people in the street. I'm talking about street niggas. I'm talking about niggas that call themselves gangsters. Real gangsters go to the polls.
Well, you know, we the one make the difference, too.
Exactly. That's what's going to make the difference. You know, that's that sleeping giant. That's that 40% apathetic vote within our black community.
Uh-huh.
That's who we need to arise. That's who we need to awaken. And see, they scared of me because I'm trying to wake that sleeping giant.
Uh-huh.
See, these young brothers, they pay some attention to what I said because I'm one of them. You know, I've been where they've been. You know, I come from where they come from.
Uh-huh.
I'm where they're going to if they don't watch out what they're doing.
Y'all pay attention, fam. With that being said, this has been the Move at 720, y'all. Wake up. Gotta change our ways and get on something positive and productive, fam. Forget where you come from. Pay attention to where you're going. We appreciate y'all for tuning in. We love y'all. Thank you.